All right, that was lit. I mean, Cease was lights out. Turn off the lights. The party's over, Oakland.
Light up the win column, bro.
The bats were lit tonight. I thought the Friar Faithful were lights out.
From Diego to the Bay.
Total
eclipse of
the A's.
All we're talking about is the win, can't you say?
All right, Padres over the A's. Game one of a three-game series. The lights went out at Petco. Reminiscent of 2017 Qualcomm. San Diego State Stanford, an Aztec win. Actually, the second game I ever worked at, actually, for San Diego State. But, yeah, San Diego over Oakland tonight, 6-1. Fernando Tatis Jr. stays hot. He has won 16. He's won. He is hitting 16 consecutive games. Jake Cronenworth hit a home run tonight. Jackson Merrill had three hits. Manny Machado returning to the lineup had a couple of hits. Dylan Cease was lights out. No pun intended. And the Padres beat the A's here tonight, 6-1. So make your way in. We will be with you for the next hour. Smash the like button for us. Please subscribe. We have year-on content for Padres fans. So if you're here, please subscribe. Year-on content, home of real Padres talk. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Thank you for the super chat. Seriously, great way to support our work. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to every single super chat here tonight. And of course, you can become a member by clicking the join button down below. You get emojis and badges. In all seriousness, Padres winning game one against Oakland, getting back to 500. This whole season is deja vu. Right where they started, 35-35, winning today, 6-1 behind Dylan Cease. And that's all I have to say about it, Jim.
Hold on, I'm coming up with a good pun to post.
Oh, wait.
Hold on. Oh, the lights went out. Oh, lights. Oh, no, lights are out.
Oh, my gosh.
Should I do the whole show with the lights half out? Turn your lights off. We're doing the show with our lights off.
Lights out edition.
Hold on.
Can you post it, though, so people know? We're going to have no viewers because of this, dude. We'll get no replay of this because people are like, why does their lighting suck?
Who cares? Diego,
right, this is the lights out
turn
edition
out the lights
show.
On the boys from the Bay.
All right, explain what you're saying, because the Padres tweeted out from Diego to the Bay after this win, even though we all thought they should have gone with like a lights pun.
Yeah, it was missed opportunity, guys.
Yeah, like you're playing Oakland, you're not playing San Francisco, you know?
Massive, massive missed opportunity. So fucking cringe, man. Jeez. But great game. I mean, great game. They did exactly what they needed to do tonight because, you know, split series versus the... Hold on.
No, keep that on, man.
No, I am. There we go. It's like, there we go. It's too bright. Overall, good game. Tatis remains hot. Cease, bounce back start. Manny, one-legged Manny, you know, getting it done, staying hot off of his, you know, time before he got injured. And we finally saw Robert Suarez after 9 days off. So all in all, good win. But again, they're just back to 500. Nothing special, nothing crazy. They're just back to 500.
Well, there's a lot of good news. I mean, Dylan Cease needed a night like tonight. Fernando Tatis Jr. is rolling. Getting Manny back and him at least looking the part at the plate. We'll see the next time we see him in the field. We'll see the next time he looks like an actual runner on the bases. You know, there's some good. I mean, Jerickson Profar, obviously. Jackson Merrill continues his strong rookie campaign. There's a lot of good in here. And still, it's hard to fathom that they're just 500 based on the way they've played or seemingly played at times this year. Let's get to the first super of the day. We'll get to all the super chats. John and Jim with you. Please subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans. This is the lights out edition of the wrap-up show, if you're wondering. I just pinned that at the top of the chat. E-Racing with Dale, thank you. He says, Nando continues the streak and HR Cease was elite. Is that home run Cease? Because he's allowed a lot of home runs. When the team is clicking, they look so damn good. LFGSD, Jim sucks. Wow.
Thanks.
We went a lot of places here, Dale. Would you like to respond to that?
First off, yeah. Tatis, 16 games in a row that he's hit in. Longest of his career. That home run swing there in the, what inning was it? The fifth. Just a classic Tatis swing. And kind then
of his first opposite field home runs in September of last year.
Pretty incredible. And that's a very, 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 very good sign. Like, obviously, the 16 game hitting streak is a good sign enough. But when he starts hitting homers, Oppo, like, that's really good. And then Dylan Cease needed this start tonight. Gave up the home run, but I mean, other than that, pitched pretty damn well. Scattered 8 hits and struck out 8, only walked 1. And thanks for telling me I suck.
I don't even remember. He led a home run tonight.
Yeah. I think you've been like doing something.
I think I was putting Jones to sleep.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, that was in like the second inning. Yeah. Right. It went down 1-0. That's right. That's right. Thank you, E-Racing with Dale. Thank you, Danny Park, for the super chat. Appreciate the supers, guys. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to all of them. He says, should Kim be batting higher in the lineup?
No.
I would probably say no. You know, he's come to life a little bit here recently. Where'd he bat tonight, 8th?
Yes. I think Kim hit 9th.
Where are you going to put him? I mean, seriously, where are you going to put him? Where Solano's been hitting? Solano's actually hit for average all season. I mean, Kim's come to life a little bit here recently, but I have no problem with hiding him down in the lineup and hoping you get, you know, it pays dividends.
I'm cool with it. Just like the only thing I think will change eventually will Manny will not be hitting 5th for the entire
rest of
the season. He'll move up. Kim is, unless he goes like nuclear hot streak like he did last season, he's staying where he's at. I mean, the highest he's probably going to bat is like 7th. You're not moving him. There's not.
No, I agree with you. I think Campy's been productive the last week, which is good, batting out of that 9th spot. Kim's been productive. So, you know, offensively, they've been – it's so weird. They're such a weird offense, man. I don't even know what to say about their offense. I really don't. I think it's good enough and at times really, really good. At times really, really good. At other times, you wonder what happened to it. But I would say good enough. Despite some of the shortcomings, they're not going to hit for a ton of power. They're not going to hit a ton of home runs. But they hit enough tonight, and they've scored in this homestand. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Carlos, what's up, man? Appreciate you. Thank you for the super chat. Good to have you here as always. He says, great win, but will not change my stance that this is a 500 team at best, which is where they are right now, obviously. We need better starting pitching. No Musgrove. Need Xander. Need old Manny. Bullpen worries.
They need Xander, though.
Yeah, I mean, his point is valid. I mean, 70 games in, Jim, that's a good sample size. Not an entire season, but it's a good sample size. And he's right. They are a 500 team right now.
Yeah, a 6-1 win over the Oakland A's tonight. Oakland / Sacramento / Las Vegas A's.
Yeah.
Doesn't change the fact that, yes, Carlos, they are just a 500 team. They're bunched up with a bunch of other 500-ish teams in the National League. And every loss could drop them down to like 10th in the National League. And every win could vault them to as high as 5th in the National League. But, the starting pitching is still a worry. Okay. No Musgrove. That's a problem. I feel like, I mean, I hate to say it. Losing Xander. I honestly, John, unless someone reminds me that Xander's on this team, I forget about him. I like literally just forget that Xander's even
are
on
you,
this
so
team.
Are you saying like addition by subtraction?
I've said addition by subtraction the second he went out.
Okay.
And yes, they will need a, you know, really good Manny here for the rest of the season. I think you're getting lukewarm Manny, which is obviously better than dog shit Manny that we saw this year.
You think that's better than dog shit Manny?
It is, yes. But okay. Like, it'd be cool if he had like a 2-week stretch like Toddy's having right now.
I mean, Toddy's red hot. So let's see, Manny, what do you have, 2 hits tonight? Coming into tonight, his prior 15 games, he's hitting .333 with a .908 OPS. So that's gone up a little bit. Like, I'd say .338 with like a .915 OPS in his last 16 games. He's been productive, but it hasn't been Tatis level. But then again, he's not healthy either. You know, we're going to have to deal with Manny's shortcomings with his health.
Yeah.
You know, for at least the short term, if not the long term here this year. But they're going to need him, to your point. They're going to need him in the field too. I think they've got some liabilities in the field we talked about today on John and Jim. They're going to need Manny. There's no question about it. No question at all.
Right.
All right. By the way, the Padres have hit 10 home runs in the last 5 games.
That's good.
You know, the bats have come to life. I think they'd hit 8 in their prior 18, something like that. What's going on with this water? Murray, thank you. He says, get those Kenmores ready. What does that mean? Sears is pitching tomorrow. Okay. He's a lefty and he's had a decent year. I think he's got a sub-4 ERA. He's a lefty with a sub-4 ERA. Yeah, it's a concern because they just have not hit left-handed pitching. So until they do it, it's a concern. I think they see lefties each of the next 2 days, Jim.
Here's another opportunity for the Padres here to not only, one, secure a series win, which Schulte like probably has wine parties every time they have a series win, and two, beat a lefty, three, secure a winning homestand.
Holy crap.
So like, don't fuck this up. All right. Don't lose tomorrow. And then all of a sudden Wednesday, you put a little bit of pressure on and like, just don't do it. Don't do it, guys. Win tomorrow. At worst, get, you know, a win on Wednesday if you lose tomorrow, and secure a series win and a winning homestand. It's a start, but that's not the greatest thing in the world, and they still be at 500, but like, just don't fuck this up.
They'd be at 500 if they took one of the next two and won the series, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is kind of like, maybe this is the series, but we've said that so many times, and with back-to-back lefties, I'm not holding my breath, but maybe. This is the series. They're still looking for the first sweep of the season, the only Major League Baseball team without a sweep this year. Nicholas, thank you for the super. He says, White Sox, quote-unquote, open to trading Crochet. Padres as buyers. I mean, the Padres are absolutely buyers. I mean, they're not sellers, and they're not standing pat. So the Padres will be buyers. I don't know if they'll be buying Crochet. We had Mike Farron, MLB Network Radio, on John and Jim today. He was very high in Crochet because you get him not just in 2024, but for 2025 and 2026. So Padres will be active, and they will be aggressive, and they will be buyers. Who knows if it's Crochet, but they'll be active. That's for sure.
They will 1,000% be buyers, no doubt about it. Yeah, there's no trading of Kim at the deadline. There's no trading of anybody at the deadline. There's nothing. They are 100% buyers. Every single person on the 26-man roster, well, almost every single person on the 26-man roster. Yeah, actually, you know what? Take that back. Everybody on the 26-man roster right now, you're safe, man. No one's going anywhere. The only thing that they're doing is going to be adding. That's it.
Maybe. I don't know if that's accurate. They could absolutely send someone out.
Who?
Anyone. I mean, bullpen. I mean, the bench piece. Someone could leave. It's part of a trade. Easily. Matsui, Peralta, yeah, right, Solano. Right. I mean, there's all kinds of pieces that could go as part of a deal, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Never mind.
Like, no one's safe. I mean, there's like, man,
you're right. Safe. You're right.
By the way, and I heard this, but you weren't watching postgame, right?
Hell no.
So I had the volume kind of lower, and I was setting up my equipment. I kind of laughed, and we're in this group chat with Darnay Tripp.
What did Schulte say?
Schulte postgame said, like, he was talking about like how the team's playing, and he just kind of rolled off his tongue like in the middle of like a paragraph, like it was the best 5-game skid you'll ever see. Their 5-game losing streak. Which kind of, I mean, it kind of was. It kind of was. 5 quality starts. He said it was the best 5-game losing streak you'll ever see. And it was a darn nice 5-game losing streak.
Hold on.
It was a beauty. E-Racing with Dale, thank you. For the super and the membership, he says, LMAO, I meant the Nando home run. Jim's great, just spinning him up. It's very easy to get Jim spun up. He's now very worried about this Schulte tweet or this Schulte comment. Yeah, he said tonight it was the best 5-game skid you'll ever see. And the Padres have tweeted out lights out.
Yeah.
It took a while, but they have finally tweeted out lights out. Are you good to do the show, or you just can't deal now that you heard that from Schulte?
Man, I tell you what, dude. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that like Mike Schulte.
You don't like Mike Schulte?
I think he's a fine manager. Fine. He's a fine manager. Nothing special. I think he's average. And I just can't fucking stand his post games, dude. I hope this team wins, because then it becomes more palpable, but like, dude, I mean, are we really sitting there saying it's the best 5-game losing streak in the history of baseball?
It was a nice one.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Dude, you're anti-Shilty? You hate Mike Shildt.
I don't hate Mike Shildt. I never said I hated Mike Shildt.
No, you just cursed him out, though.
I just think it's like, come on, what are we doing here, dude?
Wow.
Best 5-game losing streak ever.
It was a good 5-game losing streak. Vicious Pac-Man, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you. I'm married as well. Appreciate the super. He followed up by saying, why do I feel so much better about this year? You know, Don and Mudd were talking about this tonight. Specifically, Orsillo saying, like, it just doesn't seem like the same offense as last year. Like, he's like, you know, I lived through both of them. They just didn't have big innings a year ago. This continues to be the theme of the year. They've had so many. I've lost track. I have no idea how many four-run innings they've had. 25, something like that. They had a couple this weekend. Had a couple of big innings here tonight where they kept the line moving. They've got a similar record, but I think offensively they were much more challenged a year ago than they are this year. It doesn't make sense, but I think offensively the numbers bear it out. They've been a much better team offensively this year than they were a year ago. Now, is that going to pay off over the next 92 games? I don't know, but it seems like it could.
They're going to have to, like, I feel like, show more than what they've shown for everybody to feel better about this team than last year. Like, there's times this season when you are like trying to give in, be like, you know what? I kind of do like this team more than last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns into like them losing 5 in a row or them. Yeah,
that's happened twice.
Having a series where they get swept. It's like, you know, okay, well, can we please be consistent here? Can we please not run into the same problems we had last year to where we're a 500 team?
And I mean, is this Tatis? Are we going to get this Tatis for the rest of the year? If we get this Tatis for the rest of the year, that they will not be a 500 team. Like, if someone told me that he consistently hits and hits for power, obviously not to this extent. I'm not saying hit 430 for the next 90 games. I'm saying hit 315 for the next 90 games with power, and that should reap rewards.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. Is he capable of doing that? I mean, it's been a really nice prolonged stretch right now.
I hope so. And June's historically one of his best months, you know, in his career. You would just love to see June lead into July and then like so forth and so forth.
Yeah.
But you take what you can get in June and you hope that it turns into a lot of wins from him being as hot as he is.
HBBBV, thank you. For the super and the membership, he says, Kim getting cocky. He needs to play like last year. What, try and take extra bases, you're saying? I mean, he's been throwing out the bases a ton, like 10 times off the top of my head in the last month, including tonight. But I don't know if that's cocky or just like aggressiveness that hasn't paid off.
I mean, he's swinging the bat better.
Way better.
Late. I know we had somebody put in a super chat of like, should you move Kim up? I think as long as he's producing and hitting where he's at in the lineup, like you keep him there. That was my whole thing with Jackson Merrill to start the season. Like there was a lot of talk of like move Jackson to leadoff spot. Like, no, keep him in the spot that he's in because it feels like he's very comfortable there. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Jackson towards the bottom of the lineup this year. I mean, Johnny's hitting over 280.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
And that's not a small sample size.
Right.
I mean, he gives you no pop. That's fine. He's a rookie. And if his OPS reaches over 700, like, that's great, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be an amazing year.
I mean, he's having really a freaking incredible season so far.
The only downer, like, right now in this immediate moment, well, there's probably like 10, but one that comes to mind is Luis Arraez has an 0 for 10. It was 0 for 5 yesterday.
Yeah.
He was 0 for 5 today. I don't think he's healthy. There's something about him to me that looks off. He's playing the field. He does not seem like he's 100%. It's a very small sample size, obviously, 0 for 10. What's he hitting overall? 325. So, I mean, it's obviously been an amazing year. Hopefully he has a couple of hits tomorrow. E-Racing with Dale, thank you. I'm like dying, by the way. He says, if you listen closely, he said, that's what Xander said.
Yeah.
So okay. Schulte said, Xander said, it's the best 5-game losing streak you'll ever see, maybe from the dugout of the clubhouse. And then he says, I mean, they did lose all of them by one run. Did they? Were all 5 losses by one run? That's pathetic.
Were they really?
I don't remember that.
Huh.
I don't. Is that accurate?
Well. Yeah, I think so.
No, they lost the Angels 4-2 in one game.
Oh, yeah. No.
But they were close.
Yeah.
They should get half wins for some of those close losses.
Okay, well, if it's Xander saying it and he was like just repeating it, whatever. But still, like, best 5-game losing streak ever. Okay.
You're over Schulte. Ben, what's going on, man? Thank you. Appreciate you. If you're here, subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans. And if you're here, thank you for the super chats. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box. He says, I understand Jim's view on Schilt's comment. If a team is 45-25 and had a 5-game losing streak, that's one thing, not when you're struggling to stay 500. Yeah, I don't know the context because I was setting up and I heard him say,
I don't know either.
Wow. If Jim heard that, he would have texted me already and you didn't text me. So I assumed you didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot about it until Darnay sent us a text. But
if someone has a video out there, send it to us.
Every night he says something like that. It shouldn't be surprising at all. He's done that routinely. Defensive clinic after getting swept by the Phillies, he said. I mean, he's done that routinely.
Yeah, and let me just, because I saw a lot of people in the chat were like, fuck you, Jim. You don't know who you're talking to. Schulte, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like, okay, great. Let me just make this perfectly clear. I think Schulte is a fine manager.
I think called him average 4 minutes ago.
I think he's average. That's not a bad thing. I don't think he is a like top tier manager in baseball. And I don't think he's one of the worst managers in baseball. I think he is kind of right in the middle, maybe pushing top 10. If you want to go out, if you want to like go there. Okay. But
he's top 10 manager now.
Well, middle of the pack is like 15th, John. So
well, like, you said average top average. 10 to me is better than average.
Yeah, you're right. But still not there. Fine manager. No.
Name your 14 ahead of Schulte. I'll wait.
14?
Mm-hmm.
Pull okay. off. Do you really want me to put? Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll give you like, you know, sure, the Bochies, and you know, you can start there.
I'll go Boch. I'll go Torre Lovello. I'll go just in the division, just by default.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go. People are gonna hate me. I'll go Melvin. I'll go. I'll go Craig Council. I'll go.
Did you say Dave Roberts? Or you just went Melvin.
I just went Melvin.
Oh, you're gonna put Dave Roberts below Shilp, but Melvin above Shilp.
I would go. Who's the manager in Atlanta?
This is the most ridiculous list I've ever heard. Okay. Brian Snicker.
Snicker. I would go. Phillies is who?
Freaking the dude that took over as an interim like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Rob something.
Rob something.
Let's call him Rob Reynolds.
Rob Reynolds. There we go.
It's not it. That's not.
No. My point is my point is this. He is middle of the pack. I think he does some things really nice. I don't think he does anything egregious as far as manager goes. He does push the envelope a little bit with the bullpen. And I think he was the right manager for this team after the Bob Melvin situation, because it still brought in a guy with some credibility that you needed to have for this clubhouse because of his time and his brief time in St. Louis. But I mean, I'm sorry.
Wait, so are you saying he would be a better manager if not for what he said in his post-game press conferences?
No. I'm separating the two here, John.
Okay.
I'm totally separating the two. I'm just saying,
what part of his in-game or managing of the club do you not like?
Nothing. I don't complain about that at all. I'm not sitting here complaining all the time about how he manages the club or his in-game decisions or bullpen decisions like a lot of people else are. Rarely am I complaining about that. Rarely, I think both of us are complaining. I don't think we've really sat here and had too many nights where we're blasting Shilt for...
No, I'm a Shilt apologist. I think he's actually managed the club really well. I just don't like what he says post-game.
Exactly, and that's my point too. I don't like what he says post-game, and I think he's kind of cringy to listen to. That's just what I'm saying.
He's super cringy to listen to.
Like, that's where I separate the two. And I mean, probably a super nice guy. I think did we meet him? No, we didn't. We never met him. Well, no.
I just tell people you did.
No, we haven't. Anyway, and I'm sure outside of the settings of talking to media reporters, I think he's totally normal and chill. But like, when he presents himself to the world through the media and post games and pre games, I think it comes off as just very cringy.
My last question, then I'll stop on this path. What would make him a good manager for you? What could he have done in these first 70 games that would have differentiated him from an average manager to a good manager?
Well, John, I think it's pretty simple. If he manages this team to a better record, you could say.
So simply record. So that's why Bud Black's not as good of a manager, or Torre Lovello's not as good of a manager, or...
I said Torre Lovello.
I know, but Torre Lovello, you know.
Well, Torre Lovello has been to a World Series as recently as last year.
That's great, but a year before he hadn't been, you know. 84 wins. 84 wins.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is it he's not like a Jace Tingler. Jace Tingler was far and away. Like, if you named the top four managers in the NL West, it would, you know, it's like boom, 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 boom. And then way at the bottom down there is Jace Tingler. I think. You put Shilty right in the middle, like right in the mix, just with all those guys. They're all kind of equal.
I think he's fine, to be honest with you. I mean, I think he's, I can't be critical. I don't think this team would be any better with anyone else. So I give him fine remarks. I don't think it has anything to do with him that they're 35 and 35. Really?
No,
don't.
It's the players. It's the players.
Murray, thank you. He says, Kenmore was a brand that Sears stores sold. This was a little over our head.
Whoa.
So the pitcher was named Sears. It was a play on words. I do like that.
We love play on words on this show.
We do like our puns. He asked for six runs. They got six runs. Thanks, Pods. You score six runs like that, you're going to win a lot of games like the Padres did, obviously, here tonight. All right, we're going to get back to it in a moment. We do want to remind you about our title sponsor, Mark Nemitz, who is either en route to Hawaii, probably there, because he's, if he was en route, it would be like a 24-hour trip. It shouldn't be 24 hours on a plane
right
to Hawaii. Like, but then again, Gilligan, three-hour tour. So, listen, he's our title sponsor of the wrap-up show. He's been with us since day one. He is a great insurance agent. Trust us on that. I've got homeowners, earthquake, and life insurance through Mark. He saves us so much money. A couple of years ago, we had to file a claim. He saved us so much time and money. He's a great insurance agent because he's got great service and communication. He supports the channel because he's a diehard Padres fan, and he was born and raised in San Diego. So if you support the channel, if you have any insurance need, auto, home, renters, life, condo, earthquake, whatever it is, click the link in the description down below. He can save you $750 or more. His website's on the screen right now. You can call him and get free quotes. You can go online and get free quotes. But again, if you support the channel, please support our title sponsor on the wrap-up show, Mark Nemitz.
Yep, all his information is in the ticker below here. mnimitz at farmersagent.com. And you reach out to our buddy Mark. Let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
All right, let's get back to these supers. Thank you guys for hanging out. Please subscribe here on content for Padres fans. Thank you for the super chats. We'll get to all of them. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box, like E-Racing with Dale, who says 100% agree with Jim on the post-game stuff for sure. Needs to hold the team more accountable to the public. Yeah. With the media, he doesn't do it. We don't know what he does behind the scenes.
There's a different... I think people are totally misinterpreting when someone says holding the team accountable to the public, and they're thinking it's like blasting the players or outing a player or singling out a player. Like, no, that's not it at all. It's the complete opposite of that. It's more or less like, if this team loses tomorrow 7-1, you know, hey, you know, we got to be better. This mm-hmm. you know, we're a fight right now. We're trying to be more consistent, and we can't have games like this if we want to be where we want to be. We're far from that, but you know, there are some good things that we have seen over this homestand. But today was not a good game, and hopefully we come out tomorrow and play a lot better so we can end the homestand on a high note and take a series here and feel good about ourselves going to the upcoming road trip. Like that's kind of what I'm like looking for. And I know it's boring as shit, right? But like at the same time, where he's going is if they lose tomorrow 7-1, hey man, bullpen really saved us tonight. We're playing really good baseball. Right, I mean, did you guys see that catch by Action Jackson in the eighth inning there? Like, you know, whew, man, our bullpen really saved us today from something, you know, bad, and we're playing really good baseball, and even that is not as like rosy as he would go. That's all. I'm just I never am advocating for Schilt to blast or out any single player, because that would be bad. Because we know this clubhouse, and there are some fragile dudes in there. And if that got back to them, that Schulte's out and this certain player, not a good thing. I'm just advocating for more like, Schilt, I just watched the team get their ass kicked 7-1. Don't tell me it was a good thing when I saw it wasn't a good thing. That's it.
That's where I would be on Team Melvin. But I'm going to say something right now that'll be very controversial to you, but no one else here. I'm going to raise my hand. Mike Schilt's a better in-game manager than Bob Melvin. It just is. I've watched it. It's not personal.
I'm not going to take exception. I'm not going to argue with you.
It's not personal. It's just true, I think.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you. One's had more success over the longer period of time. But
I agree with that. I didn't say he's a better manager.
No.
And but I just think in-game, Melvin left a good amount to be desired, where Schilt, I think I understand his thinking more than I thought I understood Bob Melvin's thinking at times.
I mean, it's fair. I would agree with you for sure. I would agree with you.
Yeah. So again, we'll see. I mean, we have no, the beauty of sports is we have no clue how this finishes.
No.
Do they get in and do they do anything? Do they not get in? Do the Giants get in? Do they do anything? Just speaking of like Melvin specifically, Torrey Lovello with Arizona, there's so many factors that go into it. I mean, the Dodgers, this division alone. I mean, there's actually four teams that have a legitimate shot at the postseason. LA's in, and then out of Padres, Giants, Diamondbacks. Does one make it? Do two? Do none? I mean, someone's going to make it out of that group of three. So it'll be interesting to watch. I mean, listen, it's more about can Tatis do this for 90 games? Can Manny stay healthy for 90 games than it is about Mike Schilt or Bob Melvin or Torrey Lovello or Dave Roberts? I mean, that's more the story here for the Padres. Do they add? Does AJ Preller add between now and August 1st? I think he will. I think Mike Farron laughed at the question today. Like, do you think the Padres are going to make a trade? He's like, I mean, if they don't make a trade, then, you know, something happened to AJ Preller, because they're clearly going to make trades because that's in his DNA. So we'll see how this all, you know, unravels over the weeks ahead.
I will say, whatever you want to feel about Mike Schilt, he is going to be judged at the end of the year solely on his wins and losses.
I agree with that.
Like, all the shit behind the scenes that we don't see, that they'll probably parade out there, is like the most positive thing ever. Like we've talked about in-game stuff. Okay. The only thing that I, and I think a lot of people, will be judging Mike Schilt on is his wins and his losses. And that's kind of it. And that determines to me if this team is going to continue with him in the future or not, you know? And like, as it is what it is. Like, tonight's win was great. But in the grand scheme of things, it just pulled them back to 500.
That's true.
And if we're going to sit here and throw parades for 500 teams, then,
well, then
I'm not going to be a part of that.
Yeah, well, then but then again, the Diamondbacks a year ago, you know, and then again, the Phillies the year prior, you know, 84 win teams and 85 win teams. There's a lot of parades going on in Arizona based on what the Diamondbacks did last year.
That's only contingent on the team, the said team being 83 wins, 84 wins, making the World Series.
Yeah, true. True. Well, yes and no. I'm telling you right now, Jim, I've said this to you before and you've agreed. I've said this in the last 3 weeks. If the Padres win 83 games and make the National League Championship Series, it will absolutely be celebrated. And well, you agree.
Yeah, no shit. It will 100%.
So that's what I'm saying. So it doesn't matter how many. If they win 83 games and win a wild card series, it will likely be deemed a very good season.
You know what team made the postseason last year? Was a one and doner. And now they fucking suck. And I'm not saying that the Padres were going to be this way. I'm just saying
Miami.
Like, yeah, Miami.
That's a little bit of a different story, isn't it?
It's different, but like, you know.
Dude, they fired their GM. They've
unloaded
everyone and will continue to.
And
the payroll is 60 mil.
I know they did, but like, if the Padres do the exact same thing the Marlins did last year, this year, right? Say they win the same amount of games the Marlins won, which was what? 86, 87?
Then AJ Preller will, then both AJ Preller and Mike Schilt will be back in 2025, no questions asked. 84-78, same record as Arizona.
Okay, 84-78, and they get swept in the first round, or they lose in the first round. I think they got swept.
Yep.
They get swept, yeah. Everything's fine then, right?
It's not everything's fine. It's just you're not going to make wholesale change, and you agree. And you probably wouldn't even advocate for it. Are you going to go on the air the day after the Padres go 84-78 and get swept by the Brewers in two games in Milwaukee and say AJ's got to go? Are you going to do that?
No, but what I will say is, this is what I will say if that scenario happens.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Is that good enough for everybody out there?
No, that's fair. I agree with you. I'll say the same thing.
Right. I will not go on the air and be like, they got to go. But what I will say is that good enough for everybody? Because if it was, I don't know about that.
That's reasonable. And by the way, they might make the postseason with less than 84 wins. If it's not the Padres, someone may. Like the Padres might be the fifth team, and they might be 84-78. The sixth team, I'm making it up, could be San Francisco, 81-81, or Arizona, or Washington, or whomever. So right. Your point's valid. Your point is valid. Let's get to Richard here. Thank you, Richard, for hanging out. Thank you for the super chat. Guys, if you're here, please subscribe. If you're here, thank you for the super chats and the super thanks if you're here on replay. He says the days of a manager ripping a player in a post game is over. And we've heard a little bit, actually, even this year with the Angels. But veterans in the clubhouse handle that. Dave Roberts is a master at it.
the only time, the last time I heard an actual manager rip a player publicly was Ron Washington like a month ago. Like
3 weeks ago, yeah.
Managers don't rip players anymore. They rip
right.
the collective. They rip the team as a whole. No singular name is being brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And by no means would I ever advocate for that, because I think that would be a disaster. Like, imagine if you can do it. Like, Mike Schell did a very savvy thing the other day. And I mean, Adam Mazur, I'm sorry, not it. And everybody knows it. Even Mike Schell knows it, because he kind of went the route of like, you know, yeah, he had a command. Like he basically explained his start in a way of like, his time's limited here at the big leagues. Like, you could read through the lines, you know, and that's probably the closest you'll ever get to like a manager being very critical of a player. This just doesn't happen. I'm just talking about as a team collective, he'll never do that. And I feel like at times I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck are you watching?
You know, I do think he gets another start because Darvish and Musgrove are out.
Yeah, they don't have a choice.
I don't know who else would be getting the start unless you turn to like an Adrian Morahone or Johnny Brito or someone in your bullpen and give them the opportunity. I don't think there's anyone sitting there in Double A that's waiting for the opportunity right now. I think you've already made your move. I think he's already here, so he'll likely start in New York this weekend, would be my guess. Until Darvish returns, he's likely in the rotation.
So Kevin just put out an article.
Okay.
I was going to read it.
You want to read the article? Sure.
But we can get to Finley here.
All right. Let's start with Finley, and then we get to what Kevin just posted. We've told you about our brand new partner here on the Wrap-Up Show. Really cool company. We actually talked to these guys today. San Diego startup, huge Padres fans. San Diego through and through. We tell you that all the time. A startup that has offices that oversee inside Petco Park. Easiest way to explain FinLead is that it allows fans, this company does, to participate in the future earnings of real athletes. They have their first athlete. His name is Ashedri Vargas. He's one of the top prospects in the Rangers organization. You can support a rising prospect and get paid a piece of his future major league earnings. Fernando Tatis Jr. is the example I always use. He did a deal with a company called Big League Advance before he made the major leagues. He gave up, I believe, 10%, maybe more than that, actually, of future earnings. You're talking about tens of millions of dollars because of what Fernando Tatis Jr. has gone on to do from a contract perspective. Nobody's saying Ashedri Vargas is Fernando Tatis Jr., but you have an opportunity that you wouldn't have had with Tatis, which is to invest individually in Vargas. He signed for very little money. They're raising capital that will allow him to focus on baseball year-round. So as I scroll down on their website, you can see that you can invest for as little as $96. And at $96, you can see the potential investment return from hundreds to truly thousands of dollars. The more you invest, the more your potential return can be. If you want more information, you should really check them out. It's a cool website. You can learn all about it, how you can invest as an individual. Click the link in the description down below.
Yeah, click the link, go to the website, check them out. Mark Grant, an advisor of Finley, their offices are right across Petco Park. Local business here in San Diego. So if you have any questions about FinLead and want to learn more, click the link in the description below. It'll take you to their website, and we're happy they're on board.
What do you got from Kevin?
So the question on John and Jim today, by the way, go subscribe to our John and Jim YouTube channel. We're on the radio every single day, 3 to 6, iHeartRadio, also on YouTube as well. The question on the show today was, who are the Padres?
Yeah.
Who are the Padres? Well, Mike Schild has answered that question, John.
Okay.
He says, that's who we are after a 6-1 victory. They're that team tonight.
Say that. Yeah.
Quote, we just need to be who we are as... And by the way, I actually like this quote from Mike Schild. He says, we need to just be who we are as consistent as possible. Just a matter of getting back and just that consistency of a combination like we got tonight. Like, I actually like that from him because he's honest. They're not consistent. It's hard for him at times to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
And that quote right there admits they're not consistent and they need to be more consistent going forward. And the version that you saw tonight, which is a really good version of them, great starting pitching, great bullpen, superstars showed up, scored 6 runs, won 6-1. That's the type of team they need to be more consistently than there are you know, like they were yesterday against mm-hmm. the Diamondbacks.
I think the next step, like there's two things I want to really say. They're going to have to win two or three series in a row against teams that are 10 plus games under 500. This is an example. Yeah.
Take care of
me. You know, the Mets might not be 10 plus under, but, you know, 6 to 8 games under, like that would be a nice series win from what I'm saying. Like the teams that are quote unquote worse than you, you have to prove that. So do that for three consecutive series. Go beat teams 10 games under 500 in three consecutive series.
Right.
As in win 2 out of 3 from the A's. Maybe sweep a series. Sweeping a series would be nice as well at some point. But
what?
Win 2 out of 3 against the A's. Win 2 out of 3 against the Mets. And in the process, beat left-handed pitching. Find a way to be more successful against left-handed pitching. Because it's easy, Jim. It's easy to say, well, that we did everything right tonight. I mean, with all due respect, you beat the Oakland A's at home as a minus 240 favorite with Dylan Cease against some rando. Right. So, like, you have to win that game. You're expected to win that game 6-1. What happens tomorrow when you're minus 125? Right. What happens the next day when you're minus 115? I'm making it up. Those 50-50 coin flip games against teams like Oakland and New York have to be won at a better rate than just 50% of the time, if that makes sense. So, tonight, if you lost this game tonight 6-1, I would be perplexed and I'd be throwing phone books. Although that's weird. I don't have a phone book and I don't know what that would accomplish.
Anybody have phone books anymore?
I mean, I would be completely like in awe. Like my jaw would hit the floor. What the F is wrong with this team? How could you possibly lose 6-1 to the Oakland A's in this game in front of 40,000 people, yada, 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 like we've said 6-8 times this year. So this thing is supposed to happen. Minus 240 favorites win a lot, okay? Something like 75% regularity. What happens when you're minus 125 and you got a 54% chance of winning a game? Can you go out and win it consistently? We'll find out.
It's so funny. Usually it's the opposite. It's like, I'll feel much better about this team if they start playing well against good teams.
Yeah, they'll be fine against the Dodgers.
But like, we're saying the opposite. Man, I feel much better about this team if they can win versus the shitty teams in baseball.
That's just how I feel.
The teams below them in the standings. No, I agree with you. You know, go out and prove it. Mm-hmm. Prove that you're a consistent team and you don't trip up versus teams below you in the standings, albeit even though it's a couple games, but still, right? Go out there and sweep a fucking series versus a bad baseball team that's not expecting to go to the postseason. Not expecting to be anywhere close to the postseason. Like, they're going to probably have close to 100 losses on the year. Can you go out and just sweep them? The talent gap in this series
is wide.
There's not one. Well, honestly, would you take Mason Miller or Robert Suarez?
I mean, I'd take Suarez because everything they're right. undefeated in his appearances. So I'd take Suarez.
I would too. So with that said, there's not one player.
I mean, Brett Rooker has flat out hit for power for a couple of years. I'd take him as a DH right now.
I would take him as a DH right
now. Yeah. I like Brett Rooker a lot. Miguel Andujar,
by the way.
Miguel Andujar's had a really nice year. But your point's valid. Your point's valid. I think up and down the lineup, bullpen, rotation, you're taking 9 out of 10 Padres over A's.
Talent gap is insane. So with that, I mean, it was the same thing with against the Rockies, the same thing against the Angels. Like, dude, just go out there and sweep a series.
Yeah, please. I mean, you're like 70 games in. If it's not this A series, which again is very much up in the air with back-to-back left-handed starters for Oakland, and one game does not guarantee a series sweep. Let's make no mistake. Mm-hmm. But like, if not now, you start to get worried. Like, when is it going to come?
Mm-hmm. Because they just have those one, they might win series, but like they'll have those games where it's like they lose 6-1. You're like, what?
Yeah, I mean, again, to like my earlier point, like I'm thrilled with the way they played tonight. Like this is taking care of business,
right?
But they should take care of business. And I'm thrilled that Tatis is hitting 16 straight and that Profar continues to get on base. And Jake Cronenworth has completely turned around his poor 2023 in 2024, and Jackson Merrill has exceeded expectations by most, you know, and they've hit better with men in scoring position this year. And Dylan Cease has been acquired and has been solid. He hasn't been perfect, but he's been solid. He's got a 3.36 ERA. He's got a sub one whip. Six innings, one run. That works every single time out. So there's a lot to like. There is Morejon, Estrada, Suarez. There is a lot to like. Now go consistently beat teams you should. Again, we dabble with that. Should they really beat these teams? Yeah, they should. Teams like Oakland, like you said, talent disparity, truthfully, are also 10 games worse than San Diego, whatever it is. These are the teams you actually should consistently beat. And for whatever reason they haven't done it, they should do it. And they need to do it moving forward to get to 85 wins or whatever it's going to take.
Dude, 85 wins is a lock. Right?
It is, Jim. I'll say something controversial. It's not controversial. They can get to 85 wins. They can absolutely get to 85 wins. It's not moving heaven and earth. It's just not. It is finishing eight games over. So to play eight over from here on out over the final 92 games is how many wins that?
35.
So they got to go 50 and 42. I mean, it's not crazy, is it?
No, not crazy.
Again, that's at least within the realm of possible. 50 and 42, 49 and 43, if they play up to their ability, if they acquire starting pitching, if Yu Darvish returns, I don't think it's crazy. Maybe that's too optimistic. They don't need 85.
When's the last time they had a 50 and 42 stretch as a team?
2021. Absolutely. They had a 50 and 42 stretch because they were 18 over before they collapsed.
That's right. 67 and 40. No.
Yeah. 67 and 49.
Yeah.
I think so. So, I mean, it's possible. I don't think 50 and 42 is absurd. Like,
wasn't that year that we were like, this could be bad? Like, I remember at some point we're like, guys, this could end up being bad because I think they lost all their pitching.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, dude. It hit the skids in like August. It was a disaster. I didn't know they go from 18 over to finish under 500. Right?
Incredible.
I mean, that's hard to do. There's not a lot of teams that do that late. That's hard to do. No. That really is hard to do. All right, let's get back to this in a moment. We do want to remind you about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. They've got a great offer for our viewers going on. Dude, I'm taking tomorrow off. Enjoy the show. They've got a great offer going on right now for our viewers, a 50% deposit match plus a free special pick. You can get up to $250 in bonus cash if you use promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. That's right, promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. Play Padres Pick'ems. With their brand new Pick 8, you can win up to 325 times your money in a single night. That's right, $10 turns into a lot of money. $100 turns into a lot of money. You can win thousands of dollars. You can get your free special pick. Use promo code PODSWRAP. Get the 50% deposit match up to $250. Underdog Fantasy Gym couldn't be easier, couldn't be simpler. Best and easiest place to play fantasy sports is with Underdog, isn't it?
I won big money tonight, John.
What'd you win, you liar?
I didn't win anything.
You didn't win anything? Did you lose?
No, because you would have known. I would have texted you and I would have been like, boom, check.
No, I cashed out my 3140.
Whoa.
Although I'll
spend all in one place.
What's this? I think I just downloaded the app again. I need to log in when the show's over. I won $31 this weekend. You can too. What could you do with an extra $31, Jim? Buy a couple of gallons of gas?
Yeah, I could buy like 6 gallons of gas.
Go to Subway? Get a couple of footlongs?
I could get a lot more than just a couple of footlongs at Subway for $30.
Get some chips, maybe some cookies.
Oh, maybe more. Actually, you're probably right. Only like two footlongs if I get the meal deal.
They're not $15, are they?
Like 12, $13 to get the meal deal.
Jesus, man. Freaking.
And like if you get like a cookie with that, yeah, you probably get 2 footlongs meal deals plus maybe like a cookie for like $30. So yeah, I could spend it all at Subway.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Everyone could use an extra $30. It's not cheap to live in Southern California.
Yeah, no, it's not.
You know? Anyway, use promo code PODSWRAP. Scan that QR code. Click the link in the description down below. Get the free special pick, and the $250 bonus cash. Yeah, there it is. Scan that QR code.
Scan the QR code, download the app.
Yay.
That's right. A couple of things before we get out of here. There was the Bob Nightingale. I said it. It was the Bob Nightingale article.
Oh, John.
He basically...
They won 6-1, man.
I know, but I'm just saying, he basically ripped the Padres indirectly by saying that Juan Soto's super comfortable in New York and Aaron Judge has taken him in with open arms. But basically by saying that, he slighted the Padres. There was even a Padres player that was quoted as saying, like, yeah, we never saw that Soto here. Like, he's way more comfortable there than he is here. And by the way, Nightingale said Padres veteran. So, like, that to me is Musgrove, Bogarts. Exactly. Okay. So, again, I think Nightingale gets 94% of his stuff wrong, but that leaves a 6% chance he could be right. So there was that. And then what was the other thing Mike Farron said today? Maybe I'm thinking of just Mike Farron talked to Mike Schilt earlier today, and Schilt was talking about Manny, but we already know Manny's back, so whatever.
Yeah.
When's Manny giving the field is the next question.
Probably a while. I think Schilty said post-game that they're just taking it day by day with him.
Okay.
Man, he looked slow out there. Dude, he did
really
not.
Slow, dude.
I mean, he was like, jogging would be too fast for what Manny did tonight. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, look, nothing came back to bite them in the ass. You're fine with it. But at the same time, if you can't run, I mean, what?
I mean, two hits. They'll deal with it. He'll eventually know how to run. He doesn't run fast anyway.
No, you're right. They'll deal with it. I'm just worried about him potentially re-aggravating it. That's all.
Yeah, that's a concern.
Like, his bat in the lineup is paramount. But are you willing to do that at the cost of re-injuring him is my point. And if they are willing to take that risk, or if they have been told by their doctors that the risk is not high, if he just does this and he's improving every day, then okay, it's fine. But I'm telling you, and everyone saw it, that you watch Manny tonight, like, he can't run.
No, he can't. It could be a concern. Never exactly fleet of foot. But
no, but I mean, worse. Right. Like, the ball's hitting the gap, but the center fielder cuts it off. Is Manny just going to accept a single every time? Or is he going to push it for a double?
Hopefully he gets healthier. I went to WebMD and hip flexor said like a week or two.
And is that with also playing a broken shoulder
or elbow?
No.
Wait, what did you say? Is it what?
Is it also like, oh yeah, it will heal even if you are a professional baseball player still playing baseball?
No, I didn't say that. But it's Manny Machado. I know what Mike Farron said today. He said, the dude's been playing hurt for years. He's like, he told me that. He said he's been playing on a bad elbow. And we knew this. It's been said. But, I mean, it's really, like, definitive. Yeah. He had been playing hurt. Maybe not injured, but he'd been playing hurt for years.
Lelouchy?
I mean, closer to an oh-no. With a lot of players, it would be an oh-no. But with Manny, he just plays. Manny will not play because, by the way, Jim, think about this. I'm not saying it's for selfish reasons because I think he thinks he's being a good leader by being out there. But Manny's not hitting 3,000 hits by missing 20 games.
No.
Like, he's going to need this 6-8 year period of playing. Like, I don't know where he's at right now, but like, I'm serious when I say that. Like, for Manny to realistically get to 3,000 career hits, where is he? Entering tonight, he had two hits tonight. It's 1796 with tonight. Like, he's got work to do. And you know, he got to 1796 playing 155 games. And you know, he's not going to get there playing 130. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you, in his mind, he's like, I got to post. I got to play. I got to get my hits. I got to compile. I got to help my team.
Yeah.
But like, that's just in his DNA. How many home runs does he have in his career right now? 319. Like, this guy's got work to do, Jim. The guarantee is 3,500. He's got some work to do to get to 3,500.
You know, if you're writing that lineup card every day, it's a luxury to know that no matter what, Manny's going to be there. And you can just put him in that lineup regardless. And it's a quality that Manny deems to be his best leadership trait, is that he's always out there no matter what. Like, he is a 100% lead by example type of person. And when he is forced to maybe lead with words, it might not go over the same way for a lot of people. And so that's why he decided, and he goes about his business by, you know, I'm going to lead by my actions, and his actions are, I'm going to be out there every single day, regardless of how I'm feeling. And I think a lot of people on the team actually do take to that and be like, fuck, this guy's out there with a bum leg and bum elbow, and he's still posting. Like, I better get my ass into gear. Right. And I think that's what Manny hopes that players view him like. So it's a great quality to have. I just am looking at it like, okay, if you're out there, then there's no excuse. You still need to produce.
Sorry. I mean, he's hit 6 home runs. Is he going to hit more than 19 home runs? I have no idea. You know, I just don't know. But historically, he somehow figures it out. There's enough time to maybe figure it out here.
Yeah.
For Manny. You know, I mean, the numbers are still on his side. I see some people saying he's not getting 3,000 hits. He might get 500 home runs. Numbers, if he hits 20 home runs for the next 8 years, by the way, he's at, and that doesn't include this year, that's 480. I think he gets to 500. And he's 1,200 hits away from 3,000. I mean,
40 gets him in the hall, though.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, he's going to get one or the other. He'll either
400
get
3, gets him in the Hall of Fame.
What's that?
400 gets him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, probably.
400.
But he's not. Is he first ballot? Like, if he finished at like 2,700 hits, 411 home runs, is that first ballot stuff?
See, I'm more of the side of like, awards shouldn't matter.
Okay.
You know, and.
Well, good, because he doesn't have any.
No. I'm just saying, like, and if you don't have awards, then you better have a really good fucking resume as far as numbers go. But if Manny had those numbers, and say he had an MVP, say he had a World Series ring, then
he might. I mean, the MVP seems far fetched at this point.
At this point,
unless I'm missing something.
I think his best chance was 2022.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, he puts those numbers up. I think the numbers, as far as like the standard for players nowadays, need to go down because like.
Yeah. I agree.
You're not getting another pitcher in the history of the game ever having 300 plus wins. You're just never. That's never happening ever again. I mean, the 3,000 hits like is going to be a rarity for these dudes. Mm-hmm. 500 home runs. Again, rarity, because you're not seeing dudes hit 50, 60 home runs every single season. Judge, potentially, but Judge is already pretty old. And how many homers does he have? So like.
I don't know.
You know, Manny will be there. I don't know first ballot, but he will be there. And I think he would be first ballot if, say, he did have an MVP plus like a NLCS MVP. You know what I mean? Like, led his team back, led the team to the World Series type of thing. Then I think you can make a real good case, because I would argue that the awards actually would mean like this guy was the best player in this, you know, leading the best team in the National League, or at least the team that made the World Series type of thing. I don't know. He's close, and he'll be close. And cause he posts all the time, because he plays all the time, and regardless of injury, then, you know, if he's consistent with his numbers, the homers might be interesting, especially if he's not going to be a power guy here. I mean, 6 home runs is kind of crazy, but like, he'll put up numbers.
I want to play a Jackson Merrill video from Marty Caswell's YouTube channel. Can I do that, Jim?
Yes, John.
All right. So this is from Marty. So we credit Marty. Check out our YouTube channel. Obviously, great resource for San Diego sports fans, for Padres fans. There's an amazing quote in here from Jackson Merrill. I'm not exactly sure where it is. I just listened to the first 30 seconds. I didn't hear it. So let's see if we can listen to this together from Jackson Merrill. Now, where is this? Okay. Let's take a listen.
There were... we're playing way more loose. You know, we're ready to win a ball game. You know, our mindset is always how can we get to the next step and how can we get better. And I feel like us getting those runs in the early innings is really helping us because we've always been a late inning team. You know, we've always rallied late. Might not have won every time we do it, but you know, we're always there in the end. Always there in the end.
Jackson, you look so comfortable up there in center now, going from short to center. I know we're 68 games in, or whatever it is. Seem really comfortable out there, man. Just kind of talk about just the transition.
Dude, it's fun. You know, I think in the infield, I kind of just had to I thought a little bit more, like being an actual shortstop and like knowing that's my primary position and that a lot of people expect a lot of stuff from me, that I play a little more tightly. And, you know, in the outfield, I'm talking to Pro and Shug and Toddy the whole game. You know, like we're laughing, having fun. So I think I just go out there and I have fun. You know, it's not the main position I played my entire life. So I kind of got an opportunity to go out there and just prove something and have fun doing it. And it's what I've done.
You guys have had more success offensively in the road. It's been a lot of time talking about the home record versus the road record. Just what are you taking away from how you guys have played recently at Petco Park?
I don't really think there's a correlation road and home. I just think I think it's just the games that we come out and we're a little flat. You know, that's the games we don't take here. You know, talk about the other teams like Marlins and A's. They go to their home fields. There's like 5,000 people there. You know, there's not many. So they come here with our full packed out fans and they want to beat our ass, you know. But I think we just continue to play our game and just be strong and come to beat everybody else's ass. We'll be all right.
You know what a great player Fernando is. How special to see what he is doing really over the past few weeks, especially?
I mean, he's been waiting for it. He's been getting, I said it to AJ yesterday. I'm not going to use the word, but he's been getting screwed over a lot. And a lot of us have, you know, line outs and hitting balls hard, not really getting luck. So, you know, it's good to see that he's finally, the ball's getting down for him and getting down over the fence too. That's pretty sick.
You guys feel like you're starting to really show who you really are as a team offensively, getting some guys back and getting some guys hot at the same time.
Yeah, I think everybody knows what team we are offensively, though. I don't think there's any question to what team offensively we are. We have injuries. Like, everybody has injuries. So, you know, with or without those guys, we're always going to come. We're going to have good at-bats, and we're going to do pretty well. You know, it'd be great to get X back as fast as possible, and Manny's starting to get back again. So, you know, we're expecting to bang soon. You know, we've been banging, but we can bang even more.
I know we've asked this before.
Right,
I
don't... That was the quote.
Banging.
Yeah, we're expecting to bang soon. We've been banging, but we can bang even more.
Did Marty put that in her tweet?
Yeah, she did.
Of course she did. Good job, Marty.
We're expecting to bang soon. We've been banging, but we can bang even more.
Let's bang.
Padres baseball. Hashtag let's bang.
That's a good one.
All right. If you missed anything tonight. Yeah, you can watch it again. But please subscribe here on Content for Padres fans. If you're here, please subscribe. All right. Smash the like button for us. Follow us on X. At John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Thank you for your support of the channel, whether it's the super thanks or the super likes. Thank you for the memberships as well. Please support our partners, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance, our title sponsor, Aura at ORA.organic. You can click that link in the description down below if you want to get healthier. Finley, we've been telling you about. Great, great company. If you're looking for more information on their first professional athlete, Ashedri Vargas, click the link in the description down below. And again, Underdog Fantasy, scan that QR code. Get a free special pick and a $250 deposit match as well by scanning that QR code. Anything else tonight, Jim?
That's all I got, John. That's all I got. Great win. Good win. Go out there. Don't fuck this series up. Win tomorrow. Secure the series victory. And then take care of your business on Wednesday and the opportunity that you are given and sweep this baseball team in front of you. That's all I got.
Okay. Join us tomorrow, John and Jim, San Diego Sports 760 at 3 p.m. Then tomorrow night right here on the wrap-up show. For Jim, I'm John. Peace, guys.
Peace.